Fellow believers in Jesus Christ, we are accustomed to think that, and truly it is correct, that many of the Psalms in the Old Testament were written by King David. There were other writers, but David predominantly. But there was one Psalm, our focus this morning, that was written by Moses. Now, as comfortable as we are in our modern life, and as we're in this building that's clean and bright, I want you to think of this psalm as I reread it, in the context, most likely, that Moses wrote it. He had sand between his toes. He was an old man, very, very tired. He was an individual who had a lot of frustrations in life, and now he was leading people wandering in a desert for decades. Moses saw a lot of death as he penned the words of this psalm. In fact, possibly the size of the congregation of Israel was so large that as they fell under the curse of God, that all people over the age of 20, except Joshua and Caleb, would die in the desert. It's possible that in order for that to be accomplished, there could have been as many as 100 funerals every day. Familiar with death. And so he wrote these words. He prayed them. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What's interesting about this is that this was certainly a heartfelt prayer that Moses made. But it's also a recorded word of Scripture. So what that means is that as we think of prayer being communication to God, God was giving Moses by inspiration the words of this psalm. So that it not only was the psalm of Moses, it becomes a psalm that God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us, like he had taught to Moses, how do we face death? There are some important lessons. First of all, that we mortal creatures can take refuge in the eternal God. Moses prayed, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity. God has no beginning. He has no end. He was here before the creation of all things, and he will be there forever. Try to wrap your head around that. For you and I think of everything as it has to have a beginning. It has to start somewhere. But God never started. He was always here. That's why he calls himself the I Am. Anytime you refer to God, he's present. He's always there. In fact, Moses gives a comparison just to help us try to understand this or grasp it. He says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. I don't know how your day was yesterday. Was it long? Were there a lot of challenges? Or was it a day that you had a lot of things to do that you really enjoyed, and it just went on and you enjoyed every moment of it? How long is that day as you think about it now? How long is that memory? Not as long as the actual day. In fact, the memory is bent. It's gone. That's what Moses says. He says, 1,000 years to God is like the memory of yesterday. It's only for a moment. Or he says even more. He says it's like a watch in the night. A watch in the night was about 3 hours. If you were sound asleep last night from 12 until 3, how much of that do you remember? That dream, poof, it's gone. As instantaneous as it is, that to God is like 1,000 years. In the Bible, the oldest recorded man is Methuselah, who lived at that time in history 969 years. Can you imagine living that long? But to God, that 969 years, you can imagine what Methuselah, all of the things that he went through in life, to God, that was like a moment. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He is the eternal one. And that eternal one is so important because the fact that he is the one who has no beginning, no end, the fact that he is the everlasting God is a God that we can trust. He's never going to go away. He's always going to be faithful. He will accomplish his will, even if it takes, in our way of thinking, lots and lots of time. And that's important because Moses said, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. In complete contrast to the everlasting nature of God is the mortality of human beings. It's like those flowers. If you had flowers outside over the summer, those beautiful flowers that grew up all colorful and wonderful and such an attraction, it makes you feel good when you look at them. What do they look like now after the frost that we had in the last couple of weeks? If you haven't by now cut them down, you probably will soon. They're all dried up. There's nothing left. Or if you cut your grass and you allow the clippings to be discharged from your mower, how long does it stay green? In a very short time, it dries up, it withers, it turns brown. And all of that is an illustration, Moses says, of our mortality. We come into this world and we thrive for a moment, and then we decline and we're gone. Just like the grass of the field or the flowers in our gardens. Mortality. That thought came very quickly to the human race. In fact, Seth, the son of Adam and Eve, had a son and named him Enosh. And Enosh literally means the mortal one. It became very clear to them that mortality was a part of our human nature, now our course in life. Interestingly, that frail one lived to be 905 years old. We wouldn't think that would be very frail, but eventually that's the direction of our human mortality. But why? Why does death come? Moses says, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." Why death? It's because of sin. Sin that the Almighty God sees in us and knows about us. In the Old Testament, when a person came before a king of a nation, they risked their lives. Because that king, if he knew of anything about that person that displeased him, or heard from others about that person of doing things that were against the king or against the nation, he had the power just with a word to end that person's life. Now, if that were the case in front of a human king, imagine what it's like to stand before the King of heaven and earth, the one who knows all, even as Moses said, even knows our secret sins, the ones that you alone know in your heart, the ones that nobody else knows about you that you have kept hidden. God knows. To stand before him as the King of justice and right, he ought to condemn us. He ought to bring us to death. Because all have sinned, all will die, the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is death. And Moses saw that. In those 40 years, every day there were graves that were dug in the sand of that wilderness. And he saw the people going and moaning and crying because of the death of someone that they loved. And you and I see that every day. You drive past the cemetery, and it's a testimony to the fact that as long as we live in this life, there finally is a terminal date. Not one that is tattooed on the bottom of our feet or somewhere that we know, but there is a terminal date that God has determined in his mind that we will end, our life here will end. Why? Interesting. Years ago, I came across a quote from a University of Chicago researcher who was studying this here. Why do we die? And this is what he wrote. "An average lifespan of 85 years is the best that humans can hope for. The upper limit of human life expectancy is set because uncontrollable effects of aging set in, causing a slow decline that slides irreversibly into death." We don't know why we age, but it happens. It affects everyone. We know why we age. We know why we are mortal. It doesn't come from a study of science or psychology. It comes from the Word of God. Moses prayed, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away." Death comes because we are sinful human beings. Now, wouldn't you think that understanding that, people would fear God? That is, turn to him for rescue from this, since we have no ability to change this course. And once death takes place, the facing of him in judgment is one that as we read in the scripture, would be a very fearful thing without his grace. Wouldn't you think that people would pay attention and be serious about looking at how to escape the consequence of eternal death? Even Moses wondered that question. He said, "Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. But who knows it?" There are very few people who really know it. There are so many who go around in their security of their own assumptions. Their assumptions that, well, I can be good before God and God will excuse me, God will free me. Or I don't really know what's going to happen, but God certainly isn't going to send people to hell. Or I'll figure it out when it gets closer. I'm not worried about life right now. I'm not worried about death right now. We'll wait and see. Or people that just simply don't care. Security of their assumptions will land them in hell. When the Bible speaks to us about becoming wise for salvation, it's to understand what God says about his judgment. That's why Moses prayed, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Wisdom. The kind of wisdom that fears God, that understands we are definitely mortal creatures, and we need to turn to God for rescue from the death that is pronounced upon us because of the curse of our sin. That's wisdom. Only God can bring us that kind of relief. Moses said, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." Only God can turn our sighing into singing, our sadness into gladness. And that's because God's favor will rest upon us. You see, God knew that there was nothing we could do to escape his just judgment. So in his grace, in his tremendous love for you and me, he took that judgment and he laid it upon his son. He punished Jesus for the guilt that we have. Jesus took all of our sins on himself. And because of that, we are freed from the curse of death. Moses said, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us." And fellow believers in Jesus, it does. The favor of God rest upon us. Instead of anger over our sin, God smiles upon us with joy because he punished Jesus in our place. He gives to us his favor and assures us that our sins are completely forgiven and therefore we can live in peace, not fear of his punishment, but the peace and joy of his forgiveness. Remember that reading from the book of Daniel we concentrated on earlier? The judge, the Ancient of Days, will sit down and the book will be open. When he sees your name on that book, what will he see? He will see blood covering all the sins and sinfulness that we have done and are. For the blood of Jesus will cleanse us, has cleansed us. And on that day of judgment, we will stand before our God in joy not trembling in fear, because what he will say to you and to me by faith in Jesus, what he will say, come, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take the inheritance that has been prepared for you from the beginning of the world, and he will take us to be with him in the glory of heaven, where never, ever again there will be no death. Amen.